Life. Sometimes so much is compressed into such a little word. Life can be overwhelming, but also quite breathtaking. Join our host, Josiah Carrick, as we follow a freshman, a sophomore, a junior, and a senior, each experiencing everyday life here at Cedarville University. We will explore the awesome moments and also the sorrows. But Romans 8:28 reminds us that, in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him. This is 1,000 Days, a Resound Radio podcast.
All right, I am here with Bella Arazo. She is our freshman of the group. Bella, how are you?
I'm good. I'm excited.
Good. I am too. It's going to be a great time. So tell me all the introductory things, like where you're from, what's your major, what you're doing here.
Sure. So I'm from Chesterton, Indiana. It's like right off Lake Michigan, right underneath it. My house is like roughly 15 minutes away, so a lot of beach days. My major is broadcasting. I was integrated, but I'm switching into an audio focus. And possibly a minor in marketing, but that's kind of in the more to-be-decided realm.
Sure. You'll figure it out. You got some time.
Yeah.
Speaking of time, it is day 28 for you.
Yes.
How crazy is that? You've just started.
Oh, crazy, because it feels like I haven't fully enjoyed all 28 days. It's just going by so fast, so.
Well, I want to talk about those 28 days. In your journal entry, you say, quote, "Something exciting happened the first week of school. I got saved." What in the world? That's incredible.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Yes, it is. It's.
You got to tell me all about that.
Okay, so what happened was, leading up to coming into Cedarville University, I almost didn't go. Like, I remember having this huge emotional breakdown to my parents, and I was like, I can't do this. Mm. And I didn't quite open up all the way to them, because I guess I was embarrassed, because I knew the reason I didn't think I could do this was because I wasn't saved. My heart was not right with the Lord. I wasn't ready to submit to anything but what I wanted to do. So I had this huge emotional breakdown. I was like, I can't do this. And they're like, he's like, why don't you try it out for a semester? My dad told me, he's like, just try it out for a semester. Mm-hmm. And he's like, and if it doesn't end up working out and you genuinely can't do it, you don't want to be there. And then he's like, then you can come home and we can figure something else. You know, like,
sure.
I got a long time. So then I was like, okay. So I come in and I go to full Bible conference. And I remember being like really convicted sitting in that chair. And I remember like looking around at everybody else. And I was like, can I see conviction on everybody else's faces? You know, like I was just like, I can't be the only person that's feeling like this.
Uh-huh.
But you know, like it really kind of like made me stop looking at everybody else and trying to compare myself to everybody else, because that's something that I grew up that was really hard, because I was just like, oh, you know, like I'm in like these big church groups, I'm going to all these churches, and everyone else seems to be on this spiritual level. So I just kind of pretended for a really long time just to be a part of the group. So they do the altar call, and yeah, I felt like I needed to go up there, but for some reason I couldn't do it. Like my body would not move. And so they did a second time, and I remember shifting my feet, and I was like, nope, what am I doing? This is crazy. And I was like, mm-hmm. I can't do this. And I was just so nervous that somebody was going to look at me and be like, oh, well, she wasn't saved coming in. And I was like, how did I even get in this school?
Right.
You know, there were so many things that I was just like, I don't deserve to be here. So like, how can I go up there? And this was like, God is so great. How am I supposed to just come here? And he's just going to be like, oh, this is a nobody and I'm going to save her. And, you know, it was a lot to like wrap my head around. And that was a really scary thought. But the third time he did it, something that Dr. White said, which I love Dr. White, something he said was just that if I wasn't ready to walk down in front of all of those people, who were going to cheer for me and support me in this decision, then I wasn't ready to submit to Christ. And I was like, ugh, that really got me, because it really did. That's something I've struggled with my entire life, is the acceptance of others, necessarily in a sense of like, I cared too much about other people's opinion of me rather
sure.
than how God saw me. So
yeah.
I was too scared, I guess, to like actually look at my own self and view my life and be like, oh, am I doing what the Lord's telling me to do? Or am I just pretending to go along with the group? And so that was really nerve-wracking, because walking down there, I was like, I was in the back of the lower floor. So
oh, you made that
yeah,
whole walk.
I had to walk all the way down there. And I remember like walking halfway through, and then I started panicking about the way I was walking. And I was just, it was a really nerve-wracking time.
I mean, you're focused on all of your senses at that one point. I'm
yeah.
sure your heart was coming
oh,
out of your chest.
My gosh, I was scared someone's going to see it. I was like, somebody out there is watching, they're going to be like, nope, she's panicking. But I made it down there, and I tend to talk a lot, which I'm sure as the podcast listeners will learn, I talk a lot. And for the first time in my life, I think I didn't have any words, as far as like there was nothing that I could add on to how powerful Christ's gift was to the world that I was just like, I was just in awe of it myself. And I just sat there silently and I was just like, wow, this was amazing. I cried a lot. I'm a big crier. So
I
cried a lot. And I got to talk to a very nice girl who she was the one that came down and had the conversation with me. And one of the craziest things was every time that I've ever had, like when I was younger growing up, someone come over and have like, oh, are you saved? Do you want to like do that? They were always just like, it was presented in a specific way, which was fine. But like one of the first things that the girl said to me is she said, what has the Lord been convicting you about? And I, another like stab, because I was like, oh, so much. But the main thing was definitely an idol that I had was my reputation. And I guess one of the things that I was confronted with that night is no matter how good I look to everybody else or how bad I look to everybody else, that's not the eternal value of my life. And that was definitely something that was really hard to submit because I care a lot about what other people think of me. So it's it was a battle for a really long time. I think I've been struggling with this decision for like the past year, because for the past year I've like, no, like you're not fully submitted to
Christ. This was a long time coming.
Yeah, it was. It definitely was. It was something that I think I realized about myself, because you know, like I had that false sense of a false sense of salvation. But it was something that, like, when Brian White was talking about his testimony, I related really hard to that when he said, when he was younger, and he would see, like, those truck lights coming, and he would be like, ah, the Lord's coming. And then he would, like, pray, like, a little prayer of salvation in hopes that that was going to get him to heaven. And I related a little too hard to that, because I remember when I would wake up from naps when I was in, like, fourth grade, I would wake up, and if I couldn't find my mom or my dad, I would panic. And that was the first thing I would do, is I would sit down and I would have like little salvation prayers. And I was like, what if they went to heaven and I didn't? And so that was something that like, I feel like I've been struggling with for a pretty long time, but it was definitely something that I have not felt that way since that day. As far as like, you know, I'm not scared of death anymore, in a sense of, I know where I'm going afterwards, you know? Like,
right.
I know what happens afterwards, and it's not just I know what happens, I know where I'm going as well.
And that's crazy, because Brian White talked about how we as Christians must be prepared to die for Christ. Some people are actually called to do that, to do just that, but we as Christians, as a foundation, we, with our relationship with Christ, we have to be aware that we might have to die for him. We have to come to that understanding in our relationship. And I'm incredible. It's incredible that you got to that point.
Yeah, I guess too, growing up, that was another thing I really struggled with, because I was like, I would talk to my parents about that, and I'd be like, well, what if Christ asked me to die for him? And they were like, well, then that's something that, you know, like, that's your walk with the Lord.
Exactly.
And they're like, and that's something that you're gonna have to, that's something you do. And then he's like, that's between you and God. And I was just like, that was something that I was always like, I can't do that. Like, I don't know if I would, but knowing now, I know that that's something that I can do that, you know? Like, obviously, like, it's going to be mind-blowingly terrifying. Like, it's not something that I'm saying, like, oh, you know, I'm just going to be so natural. Like, no, I'm probably going to be scared out of my mind. But it's something that I know Christ is worth it, in a sense. And I'm no longer scared of death, because there really isn't anything on this world that terrifies me anymore, in a sense of, like, you know, there's something that comes after this. And I guess that's a lot more freeing, because now I know that I'm a part of Christ's kingdom.
Yes,
so, yeah.
There's a hope.
Yeah.
So tell me then, you are a brand new Christian.
Mm-hmm.
What is that like with all of your friends and being on a campus that is predominantly Christian?
Yeah, so it was kind of scary, because I felt like my first initial response was like, I'm going to be judged. You know, like they're going to be like, oh, how did you even get on the campus? Because I'm surrounded by all these people who, it feels like everyone here kind of knows what they're doing. So I was like, you know, like, I'm going to be, I was almost embarrassed at first, not embarrassed of Christ, but embarrassed of like myself, like of how long it took me to do this, which there's no reason to be embarrassed about that. You know, like that's your own personal walk with Christ. So I get that now, but I remember coming up to my roommate. My roommate actually came up behind me, because I was still talking to the girl, and she came up behind me. And I turn around, and I wouldn't look her in the eye, because eye contact is a really big thing for me. I feel like when you look at someone's eyes, you can tell what they're thinking. I was too scared to look her in the eye, because I was just like, I don't want to see her and feel like I'm being judged. And the first thing she did is she came over, and she just said, I am so proud of you, and then hugged me.
Wow.
And yeah, it was very emotional, because I had just stopped crying. And so then she just said, I am so proud of you. And then I look up into her eyes, And she was crying, and she was just saying how glad she was that this happened. And it was so, like, it was just amazing. We had a really nice conversation. And ever since then, I feel like that moment, in a sense, brought us closer as far as we have a lot deeper conversations now. I was lucky enough to get a roommate that we bonded immediately. Like,
did you know before? Did you know her beforehand?
No, actually. What happened was I didn't even want to go into the dorm Johnson. Nothing against Johnson. I love it. But now I'm so happy that I did. But I wanted to be in Maddox at first, and it just didn't end up working out, which, understandably, Maddox is usually like an upperclassman dorm. So I was just like, whatever, you know. I picked Johnson because it seemed like pretty low level as far as like it was a pretty chill dorm. So I was just like, okay, I'll go into this one. And I enter the rooms. And as I go to pick a room, which was on the first floor, like, it was, like, upper back, I think. As I go to pick that room, my computer's Wi-Fi cuts out, and I didn't get it. And I was just like, okay. And I specifically didn't want, it was our rooms by the bathrooms. I didn't want room by the bathrooms. But it was one of the only rooms open, and there's already a girl in it. And I was like, oh, it's fine. So I click into that one, and then I text her for a little bit. We don't really text through the summer. We were both working a lot, like, so we just didn't really talk too much. And then I meet her in person, and it was probably one of the most, like, it was one of the biggest God moments of my entire life, because my roommate and I bonded so quickly. And not in a sense where it was just, like, casual, like, oh, you know, like, we both have, you know, the same favorite color. It was, like, a genuine sense of she's, like, you are just like my sister. And I was, like, you are just like my sister. And we're both super close with our sisters. So it was honestly, like, we got to know each other really fast. It got, like, a deep friendship really fast. And it's someone that, she's someone that I can really, really trust, in a sense. I always need to talk out my emotions. Mm-hmm. I can't be someone that, like, works through things in my head. I just need to, like, lay it out on the table and kind of, like, to help myself decide, in a sense. And she was someone that, she's very wise. She's so wise. So she's someone that listens and genuinely will give me advice, but always reminds me how much she loves me. And that's amazing. Like, she is great. I love her so much. But yeah.
And I'm sure that's developed after your salvation date, but your salvation date wasn't even a week into the year. You didn't even know this girl for a week.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yet she still showed you all that support, and you're still growing through it.
Yes. And all my other friends did as well. I'm definitely closest with my roommate, but all my other friends were so excited. I was very scared, but the amount of high fives that I got, I was like, oh, wow. But a lot of high fives, a lot of hugs, and a lot of people genuinely supporting me in the decision, mm-hmm. and also holding me accountable to making, you know, choices as far as, like, I have a lot more deep conversations with all of them, which is really, really nice. I have a lot more, we all hold each other accountable in a sense, you know, like getting in the word and doing those kinds of things. So that's really nice as well. So just things like that as far as.
Yeah, don't lose that fire now that you have it.
Yes.
And that's the struggle of a Christian, really. Mm-hmm. At times we lose it. Well, best of luck to you. This is incredible.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing with me, and I will be checking in with you in 2 weeks to hear how it's going.
Okay, sounds good.
Before you go, I hope you enjoyed this episode of 1000 Days, a Resound Radio podcast. If you liked it, you can follow us on Instagram and like our Facebook page. You can also go to our website, resoundradio.com, where you can listen to Resound's music broadcast, more episodes of 1000 Days, and the journal entries of our cast. I'm Josiah Carrick. Thanks for listening.